Suffer means to go through some negative or some hurtful or something. But when Jesus says, suffer the little children coming to me, he's not referring to them in some way that would be negative.
So
he means allow them.
Yes.
Or let them come to me. And, look for scripture this morning. And it's in John. And Jesus is letting them know. I'll find it in a minute. You gotta go along with God.
Yes, you do.
And you might, you won't be lost. Somebody will say sometimes, you should never question God. Well, you probably shouldn't. We probably shouldn't. But being human as we are,
mm-hmm.
we do.
Yes.
And God being the adult and us being the child, he didn't smack us for it. And God, being a greater parent than we probably are, almost never, he doesn't usually just leave us with because I said so.
Yes.
And he would be well within his right if he did to say to us, because I said so. But usually he will give us an opportunity. He'll explain to us why we're doing what we're doing. I need this scripture today in John chapter 4, John chapter 5, and verse 24. And I won't be long. As a matter of fact, this morning in Christian education, I enjoy teaching Christian ed. It's about 10 after, so I've already done 4 hours. Sermons really, unless they're really calling out fire, shouldn't last an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're not saying anything, you ought not last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It would be good if everybody who's called to preach is recognized when they're in the spirit and when they're
not.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And everything you do beyond the spirit, I don't care how emotional it is, and I don't care how good you think you're sounding. One of the most dangerous things to do when you're preaching is to start sounding good to yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you tend to be up way beyond when the spirit is able to move.
Yeah.
And when you sense yourself enjoying the people, you should enjoy the people, but you have to stay with the spirit. John the 5th chapter. Attending all these funerals, if you go to a funeral, and all of us have, they're not really our greatest occasion to go to. And unfortunately for many of us, it's the only time we ever see all of our family and friends, which is too bad. But if your family's going to heaven like you are, then you catch up with them. So,
That's true.
One thing funerals should bring to mind to everyone is that sooner or later you're going to die.
Yes, yes.
And the point being, and one point is death is not, people say death is so final. That's absolutely not true.
Not true,
no. Death is not a finale, it is a commencement. It is to say that death is so final, that's just what it is not.
Yes, it's
the
beginning.
If our life was a dinner or a meal, this is not even an appetizer. This is just the finger food that you get while you're standing around being called to the table.
All right. Yes.
We haven't even begun to live a life that we're going to have. And I refer to it not just the life we're going to have in God. We haven't even begun to live the life, the eternity of our soul and spirit. We haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Amen.
You know, when you scratch the surface of something, that means that you go beyond the top cover and you kind of dig down into it. We haven't even done that yet. We're still just laying on the surface.
Amen.
When it comes down to life and how long we're going to live, we haven't even begun to have any consideration for it. So when people die, this is certainly not the end of them. It is the beginning, one way or the other. And when we go towards death, our life is such that what we're living, well, he led a full life. You might have did a lot when you were on earth, but trust me, you have not really led a full life.
Yeah.
Life begins whenever you die and when you are raised again. So I want to look at John, the fifth chapter, just for a few minutes and I'll be done. It's John, the fifth chapter, and verse number 24. And for a few minutes today. If you suffer with him, you will also reign with him, as the scripture says. If you go along with God, we were studying this morning in Christian education for those of us who are with us, if you remember. God's plan is final.
Mm-hmm.
His purpose is absolute. And it is unchanging.
Yes.
If you're not going to go along with God's plan, you will not change it. You simply won't be a part of it.
Amen.
And the way that we fit in as far as the will and plan of God is God, because of God's mercy and his grace. And if it was not for God's mercy and his grace, we could not be in his plan.
No.
That's a fact.
Because we do not, we in ourselves being born in sin and corrupted by sin.
Corrupt. Yes.
And that's another thing, Minister Smith, the people that I recognize. One of the things that helps you to be able to acquiesce to what God would have you, or to change, or allow God to work changes in you, when you come to realize that being born in sin, we are born so corrupted. This is why in one place Paul refers to us as having a vile body.
Yes.
It is so useless as it races towards death. And the mind that we have, when we start to realize how imperfect we are and why we're imperfect being born in sin, then when God gets ready to move in us, we don't have a problem with God moving in us because God is so right.
Yes,
right.
About everything.
Right.
God is so purpose and is so perfect in his plan and his perfect. And if you will obey God and listen to God, God can steer us right.
Yes.
Our righteousness doesn't come with anything we've learned just out of a learning experience.
Yes.
You can learn to be a moral person and still not be righteous. There are many things that we do because of the morality of earth and the laws of earth and so forth and so on, that really in our minds, we would do them differently if we weren't going to be held to some account on earth.
Word, that's right.
Oh, yes, we are. I know I'm talking about. There are many things we would have done if we weren't going to be accountable to someone on earth.
Amen. Yeah.
But we should be more concerned about being accountable to God.
Yes.
And when we talk about how we are God, God's our emotions and our minds. It is something that God is able to look into because it says in one place there's nothing hidden from him.
Nope.
And we are naked before him.
Yeah, that's right.
And even the things that we, you know, we talk about people having discernment, you know, I discern this, I discern that. Your discernment is no stronger than the rest of your spirituality.
That's right.
You got that right.
Yes. It was not. You don't, you're not someone who can be You know, I choose discernment because there are a lot of people who like to claim they can just discern this and discern that. Well, some discernment comes simply because of our experience in life. When you get to be as old as I am, you ought to be able to figure out something. You should be able. You ought to be able to look at something by now.
Yes.
We shouldn't be as blissful and as you know, as ignorant of our surroundings as we were when we were 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah,
we ought to be able
right.
to look at a 20-year-old now and see them in 20-year the life that they're in. And accept the things about them and not demand that every 20-year-old will behave like a 71-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Because when I was 20, I didn't act like I was 70.
No.
And God understands that because when you, the day you come to God and the Lord saves you, it is not the same expectation that He expects from you 50 years later.
Yeah, that's true.
When we get up and give these long addresses about how long we've been in God, then your spirituality and your life should reflect that.
Yes.
If you allow the Lord to really move in you. But as we look at it, living on earth is a short time in comparison. And I want to look in John 5 and 24 and 25, and then, I'll be done. Maybe for 27, but verily, verily, I say unto you, he says to them, and I would like to go to 22, but I'm not, because that would take me a moment, so I'll just start at 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. And this is, and I'll use the scripture, but oh yeah, it's coming, okay. And for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. In other words, if God the Father has the power of life and given life and resurrection, so does the Son. And hath given him authority to exercise judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good. In other words, when he says done good, it doesn't mean you open up a soup line. Although a soup line is good, if I had enough people, I think we'd have one. I'd love to have a soup kitchen and a clothing closet. If we had the people to do it, I would love to have all that. But this is not the good he's referring to. He's referring to people who have obeyed God. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For all those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and unto the and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In other words, all those who have obeyed God, you'll have eternal life with God. But one way or the other, when you close your eyes and take your last breath, you're going to see one or the other in your next conscious moment.
That's true. Yes.
And you're going to have eternal life, whether it's you're going to live eternally, whether it is in life in God and being with God. Or you're going to live eternally in damnation and be lost and suffer in hell, as the scripture says, forever and forever, which is the second death. And in my mind, and in my small mind, Ellen Smith, I can't bear the thought of going to hell and having to be there forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't
want to
think about that.
Yes.
It should be such a scary thing to every one of us.
Yes.
I can't bear the idea. And every night when I go to sleep, I'm trusting that I'm going to wake up the next morning, but I don't know if I'm going to wake up or not.
Yes.
And Michael Conn was on his way to the doctor's office and got no further than his front yard before he died.
Wow.
And he wasn't expecting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne gets in his car and he's driving to wherever he's going to his job or whatever. And he pulls over and sits in his car and dies. He's not expecting to do that.
No.
None of us are. He's not old enough. For us to expect him to just die like that.
That's right.
No, my aunt Florence passed. She's 89 and she's had cancer for 25 years. Well, reasonably so, we can say, all right. But most of us, there's nothing that says that in this afternoon, I pray not for my family's sake, not necessarily for mine, I'll be fine, but for my family's sake, I'm praying that my heart doesn't stop beating today.
Amen.
But if it should, I can't think of anything worse than waking up and not being with God.
You got All right. That's right. Amen.
I can't conceive
yeah.
of myself allowing myself. And throughout eternity, if you think you go over and over in your mind about dumb things you do now, imagine having to go through our eternity suffering without any relief and going through it. And the thought of knowing I didn't have to be here.
Amen.
Been somewhere else.
Yes.
God made arrangements for me to do something else. And I was too cute and too smart and too slick. And I looked for all the loopholes, not of what I should do in God, so I make sure that I'm in everlasting life. But I looked at all the loopholes of what I could do and still kind of make it. And what I could get away with and how I could be and kind of make it. And I looked for the very minimum that I must do in order to make it in versus doing over the top. You really want to go over the top? Do over the top in God.
Amen. Right. Yes. Yes.
To make my calling and election sure. And I looked to see if what I wanted to do was just all right with God.
Yes.
Or rather than find out whether what I wanted to do was really right with God.
Amen.
I wanted to know if I could do this and still make it in versus wanting to do what God would have me do. Because what I'm looking to do to see if I can get away with is nowhere near as good as what it would be if I did what God wanted me to do to start with.
Right, yes, amen.
Because there's going to come a day if Christ doesn't come first.
Yeah.
When you're going to lay down and you're not going to get back up.
Yeah.
Not
in this body.
Not in this body.
But you're going to get up in one.
Yes.
In one place or the other. And so all the things, and I'm finishing now, be done by 12. And so when I read the word of God, it's not like, you know, when we talk about if you deny me, my father also deny you. It's not like just saying my father never knew you. It meant that he won't allow you to come in.
Yes.
Won't allow you interest. And why not? Because you don't qualify. When you could have done good, to know to do good and not to do it is sin. To know to do what is right and not to do it is sin. To know that I should give and not to do it is sin. To know that I shouldn't say something that I'm saying and to do it is sin. To do it in all these different ways. And God is so merciful and the Spirit is so tremendous. To not be where God would have me be is sin. To not go when God says go, and to do my own choosing and my own running, it is contrary to God.
Yes.
And I run the risk in this little short brief. And this is the point, Elizabeth, that makes it such a thing. Sister Sturgis, this is the point. I mean, you have such a brief time to suffer with God.
Right, yes, just a little while.
It's not like you're going to be suffering forever, or our lives are like Methuselah, where you're going to have to put up for God for 965 years. You have such a brief amount of time to put up with God, to suffer with God, to follow God, to obey God.
Yes.
Good.
Weeping may endure for a night. God shows up in the morning.
Yes, joy comes.
And he's like nothing if you allow him, and because we love TV, he's like I don't watch programs. I don't watch TV programs where I've got to watch a whole season for you to solve one mystery.
Yeah.
My patience is too short.
Yes.
I gotta see it. You gotta show me what's wrong in the beginning of it.
Yes.
And before it goes off, I don't want it to be fixed.
Yes, that's right.
Well, God's like that.
Yes.
Problem comes, problem solved. This comes, is done. If you allow the Lord, something will come, God will work it out. As soon as you come to knowing who it is that works it out and how it worked out, God will show up and God will move.
Yeah, amen.
And all along, you know, there's a backstory. You know how there's a backstory? It's when you have episodes and they're solving things, but all along there is a backstory going on in the background that you're waiting to see the end of.
Yes.
We have a backstory.
Yes.
That I need the Lord to move me today, financially, whatever it is, or however it is. That's what God's episode that he will do for me today. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah. Give me what I need today.
Yeah.
If I need to be forgiven, then that's God today. new mercies every day. I need mercy today. I need God to wash me today. But there's a backstory going on the whole time. That's that I'm heading towards everlasting life. And that's what's keeping me. While he's working out this problem, because every one of them, I ask God to work out, he works out. And he does this, but all along, he's carrying me towards everlasting life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So that when the season is over, or the series is over, when Charles Smith's equity, when his storyline is no longer being broadcast in the earth, then at the end, you see the great finality. The great finale that comes along in this earthly life. And then I need to move on. Right. And I need to be resurrected into everlasting life. And that's why when Paul teaches in all the New Testament and the letters he writes.
Yes.
He's saying to them in Corinthians 6:9. Don't let these things be a part of you, because this is just an episode. And you need to go on. If you keep like you are, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He says the same thing in Galatians. And we take them out of each one. The man was talking about, I was looking last night, he was saying, context means more than text. And he was right. We take them out individually and turn them into some motivational something, some motivational that, and the people leave feeling so motivated. You know, they said that about God, and I feel so good about it. Then it doesn't change your life. Am I giving you something that you can do, or something that will change you?
Yes, yeah.
We love to do stuff. We're doers in the earth. But does the Word of God give you something to do, or does it change
you? Amen. Yes.
We like to do holiness.
Yes.
We like to give well worshiping. We love the pomp and circle, and we love to appear like we're this. We love to appear like we're righteous. And Jesus said to them, except you be more righteous than the Pharisees who had the Word written all down there for lacteries, and they wore the long robes, and they came in and they went out and they rang bells and they lit candles and they offered something. They did all these things, and he told the disciples, your righteousness has to be greater than theirs. He said, they're doing all this, but they're not righteous though.
That's right. Yes.
And we know how to build around something. You know, motivational speakers know how to grab a point. I know how to do it. Been doing it long enough. And drive home a point. But is your point telling the people that you're going to be resurrected one way or the other? There's only two choices that you have.
Yes.
And every time you meet, run into a fork in the road, and there's so many of them, every decision that you make in the course of your day has to be whether or not you're going to be resurrected into life or death.
Amen. Every decision.
Everywhere you go, there's a choice of being righteous or unrighteous.
Yes.
Everything you're going to say, there's a choice of being like God or not like God.
Yeah.
And don't you want to hurry up? Don't you want to hurry up and become like God so you can stop acting like God?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be like Jesus instead of trying to act like Jesus? Don't you want to be righteous instead of acting righteous? Don't you want to be holy instead of acting up? Because when you do, when you just, when it's just an act, you go home at night and you take it off like you take your shoes off. And you sit down in your comfortable clothes, and then you get back to being you. But I want the me that I am, wherever I am, to be the one who's righteous. It's hard to act holy when you're not.
That's true.
It's a work.
That's right.
And you got to remember what you said the last time that impressed everybody with your holiness, if it's not really you. And you got to remember what things you said you went along with when you were going through your act. But when you become God,
yes,
how godly, Bishop Smith, godly enough that if the last word you said is the last word you're ever going to say, and the next word you say, you're going to be saying it even in hell, heaven or hell. When you become godly enough that when you lay down at night, you have one sure thing. You might have a zillion problems that aren't, that haven't been solved in the course of the day, but one problem you have solved, and you're sure. If I don't wake up on this side of heaven tomorrow morning, I will be with God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
You got to make up your mind of whatever you heard and said during the course of the day. Well, I'll sleep on it, see whether I'm going to forgive them or not. You better make sure that before you close your eyes, that you have forgiven, you've washed, you've asked God to forgive you of all the things you've done today. You come before him, and the blood stands before you, and the person you've got to commit to apply the blood is not the preacher, not the pastor, not the bishop, not anybody. You got to convince the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
He's the one that causes us to sit in heavenly places. He's the one who brings me before Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
For Jesus to intercede for me. I don't just step up myself, God. No, Jesus goes before me.
Yeah.
On my behalf. And he applies the blood when he sees that my heart is right.
Yes.
And what I have, I qualify for.
Qualify for.
I want to encourage everybody today.
What do I qualify for?
In all the things that you get, in every move, you need to consider whether or not if today is your last day. And it's not a sad thing for me.
Yeah.
What's worse? Can't think of anything. There is nothing worse than if I should wake up and not be in this earth, not being in heaven. I can't think
there
of anything
isn't anything worse.
Worse.
There isn't.
It shall come forth. They that have done good obey God unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen to me. You're not, I know people preach it all the time. Charismatics, a lot of people, when you hear people say it, it's cute to say. Because it says in 1 Corinthians that all of us will give account of the things we've done in this body, whether good or evil.
Yes.
So a lot of people who are saved and whose names are written on high in the Lamb's Book of Life, you take it that when you get to heaven. I heard people say, I get to heaven, they're going to show the screen, it's going to be so embarrassing, and God's going to show everybody all the things I've done in life. Not so. Not going to happen. When God forgives sins, he blots them out.
That's right.
And he says, I'll remember them no more.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about that. When it says the things done in his body, whether good or whether evil, it's referring to whether you're going to see Jesus or whether you're not. Either the things that are done in your body are good, you have repented and the blood has washed you, or the things you've done in your body are not good and you have not repented and you have not been washed. And on the basis of that, you will stand before God, whether you're on this side and you're good or whether you show up 1,000 years later and you're not. So if you think that you're going to go to heaven, well, everybody got a little something. Well, when you figure out, when the Holy Ghost shows you what the little something you got that God doesn't like, you need to get rid of it.
Amen. That's right.
So God's merciful and he won't hold it against me. You ought not take a chance.
That's right.
You must not take a chance. I wouldn't. Sister says you would. I'm not willing to take the chance.
Chance, no.
Well, God give me him. Hey, look. Once the Holy Ghost shows you something, and the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. When I show you something about you, you're supposed to let it go. Well, maybe no. When the Holy Ghost says, this is not right, you're supposed to let it go. Then, and ask God, Lord, please wash me and cleanse me. And then if it's one of these things that you need help with, ask God, say, Lord, help me.
Help me, Lord.
I know I can't go in with that.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise his name. Do something good in my life. Simple little song, my prayer. Ask God. Something good in my life. Do something good in my life. Oh, Lord. You cannot. God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, God. God is very merciful.
Yes, he is.
How merceful is God? Well, the first time God points something out to you, lightning bolts don't fall.
Yeah.
God gives you time.
God grace.
But you can't keep putting God off.
All right.
That you cannot do. You can't keep saying to God, Lord, I need to do better.
Yes.
Not for the same thing.
Yeah.
Not for the same thing. You can't keep saying to God, Lord, I know I need something. Not for the same thing.
Yes.
He expects that to be done with.
Yeah.
Can't keep so that you can move on to the next thing that he needs, that you need to do.
Yes.
Do something good in my life. Oh Lord. Do something good in my life. So for everybody who, especially me, that the Holy Ghost is saying to you, you need to do something different.
Yeah.
Something good. He's pointing out. Say, well, Lord, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. goodness, and there is more good. And he'll say to you, are you like Jesus yet? You're like, no, I'm not Jesus. Then there's more. Then there's more. Have I no way in my life? Have I no way in my life? Do you really want God to have his way in your life? Have I no way in my life? Oh Lord, do you really want God to have his way in your life? Then stop doing what you do when he tells you to do something else.
Amen.
Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, for your great grace. Father, we are so happy, Lord, that you have given your son on our behalf. Lord, his powerful death, his powerful burial. Lord, his powerful resurrection, Lord, that you've given unto us, Lord. We have done nothing to set us free from sin or give us everlasting life. Lord, the only thing that you've given us to do, Lord, our only part in eternity is to obey. Lord, we thank you so much for the new mercies that you give us every day because we need them. Every day we need mercy. Every day we need grace, oh God. Even the thought of us, even, oh God, when we become so brash as to commend ourselves and how well we live before you, Lord, in that we're wrong. Lord, if we have lived well before you, it's because of the keeping power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's because of your grace and your mercy and your long suffering, Lord, that we can say that we have had a day, Lord, that we've lived right before you. Lord, without your Spirit, we would never be right.
Yeah, Lord.
Without the Holy Ghost, we would never be whole. Lord, and with all that you have given us, oh God, we thank you so much for it, oh Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless us and lead us and guide us. Lord, for everyone, Lord, who needs a touch in their body, all of us who are sick in any fashion, oh God, Lord, touch us and heal us. Lord, that we know of your great love and your great power, oh God. Increase our faith and strengthen us with you. Lord, add to this congregation, to this church, Lord, add those, Lord, who would know the way of God. Lord, send those who would hear the word of God. Lord, those who would be saved by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, resurrected with him. And Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we pray, Lord, you bless all the people who are listening, both here and on the Zoom. Give us a mind to follow you and to make up our mind and have a determination that when we wake up, when we are resurrected, we will do so in life.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for keeping us on the highway to work.